What's up, good people? This is your host, Neil Real, and this is the Apostate Apple Broadcast. Back again, talking about how the Bible attacks your self-confidence. Confidence in your ability to think for yourself and reason, your intuition and stuff like that. Right into the bullshit. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5. It says, "Lean not to your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him," or the Lord. Lean not on to your own understanding. So you may have an idea, but you say, don't lean on that. You don't know what you're talking about. Submit to what God is saying. Or if something don't make sense when God is talking to you, or the pastor's preaching to you, or the religion is off and is saying something goofy, don't lean to your own understanding. Here's what's happening here. This is setting you up to where you second guess your own thinking. How you process things, you feel like, well, I'm not really good at that because the Bible said I'm leaning not to my own understanding. And what this also sets you up for is gaslighting. Somebody may do something to you. You say, hey, oh, this is what happened. You know, no, don't lean on to your understanding. You know, that didn't happen. Don't you lean to your own understanding. Okay. So you can be exposed to gaslighting and have to end up accepting gaslighting from people because of that. Overall, they can just trick you and have you do something else that you knew wasn't a good idea, but hey, don't lean to your own understanding. All right. Here's another one here. This one is attacking your reasoning and your critical thinking skills. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6. And it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And so most Christians operate on faith. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, nothing, no evidence, basically. And let me explain what faith is, because they talk about it earlier in the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So faith is the confidence in what we hope for. So if I have confidence in something that I'm hoping for, that's faith. And assurance about what we do not see. So I feel and I really want this and I have confidence that somehow I'm going to get it. That's what faith is. Okay. But if nothing comes out of that, then what's the use of faith? But it says here that if you don't have faith, then you don't please him. So you have to be a person that believes, even though you have no evidence of his existence. And if you believe, you'll get rewards from him in heaven. That's what this passage is saying. They're basically telling you to suspend critical thinking and logic. Then it goes on to say that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Why do you got to earnestly seek him? So now you got to put all this effort into connecting with this guy. So you're praying and praying and praying. You're not hearing back. Now the Bible can say, well, you're not earnestly seeking him. You got to keep praying. You got to keep believing in something that just doesn't come to pass. You see how this is set up? It's your fault if you don't get what you want through faith. And God is absolved of any wrongdoing. I remember I was at a house and some of the people were claiming to have the gift of healing. And I said, I got a headache. So this girl, you know, she said, come over here. I'm going to put my hands on you. I'm going to lay hands and you're going to be healed. And so she lays hands, prays. My headache is still there. She looked at me like, well, you just ain't got enough faith and maybe you got sin in your life. I'm like, bitch, you said you got the gift of healing. It don't matter what the fuck. I believed I wouldn't have came to you if I didn't believe you had the gift of healing and that God's power didn't flow through you. So how the fuck you gonna tell me I ain't got faith and I got sin in my life? because the bitch ain't have no damn power. And it don't work that way. And it's no God healing nobody. This is bullshit. But for people who have had their minds hijacked by the parasite religion called Christianity, they are wrapped up in this thing called faith. Just accepting things and saying, well, if I don't accept it, then I won't please them. So I got to just suspend all logic and critical thinking skills. I got to let go of all of that and just accept it, because if I don't, he's not going to be pleased. That's kind of convenient, isn't it? You know, if you don't believe me, well, you're wrong. And, you know, I'm not going to bless you because you don't believe me. That don't make sense when anybody else is telling us that. But when God, who you never met, who has no evidence of his existence, tells you that, you believe it. You see, this is something taught to people, and this hijacks your mind. And this affects your critical thinking skills and logic, not only when it comes to religion and what they have you to do, but everything else in life. Another one, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so there have been sayings that, hey, go follow your heart. This don't come from Christianity. It comes from other places. Hey, follow your heart. The heart is your intuition. It's kind of giving you information. You say, just do this. You know, this is the way. And you may not have any evidence or anything, but you just know. That's coming from you. All right. And this is telling you that your heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. So you can't listen to your intuition. This is what this is doing. It's cutting off your intuition. You might have a desire to start a business. You might feel like, you know, I can do this. But the ministry is keeping you bound to it. And so now you may share that with somebody and they say, well, you got that from your heart. You saying that in your heart you feel like, you know, you should do this. Well, that ain't of God. That ain't of God. So I don't know. What are you talking about? You need to let go of that. You know, I've had intuition many times in church where I say, I need to leave this place. Or these people ain't right. Or they about to do this to me. And I let it go because I said, that's my heart talking. It's wicked. You know, leaving this fellowship is wrong. There's a Bible passage that talks about, you know, don't forsake the fellowship of the brethren. Shit like that. And I end up getting hurt. My intuition was speaking, but I stopped listening. And now I listen to it. And now it's always right for the most part, you know. So it's important to listen to your intuition. But of course, an oppressive religion, a parasite religion, does not want you to listen to your intuition, because your intuition will tell you, hey, get out of that religion. Right? Here's another one that destroys your self-confidence. It says you can do nothing without Christ. We talked about this. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 15. Here's another one. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is one that was used for me to keep me away from self-protection and owning weapons and practicing martial arts. Okay. So you're cursed if you put your trust in yourself, or say somebody is putting a trust in somebody else because they got the weapons, they got the guns. So just say, for instance, your wife, and you putting your trust in your husband to protect you instead of God. You see, you're cursed for that. That's what the scripture says. And it says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. So when you draw strength from yourself, which is self-confidence, and say, I can do this, you're evil. It says, whose heart turns away from the Lord. You got to give all glory to God. You must say all your energy and strength and your trust is in God, not yourself. Once again, you're taking away your personal self-confidence and leaving it up in the air to God. You see? This is fucked up. And I was a person that way. I felt like, you know, well, God got me. He gonna take care of me. Now I own a weapon. You know, I got a little bit of fighting skills, you know, because I'm not putting my faith in a God that don't exist. I love myself enough to take care of myself and anybody that's in my vicinity under my protection. I'm not cursed for putting trust in my abilities. There ain't nobody else that's going to do it. I draw strength from myself because that's where this power going to come when it come to put hands on somebody that need to get their ass kicked. I draw strength from my ability to bust my gun at the enemy who would invade my space. Fuck this scripture. But what is it doing? It's tearing you down. I remember when I was a Bible teacher, and this is what I used to suggest that people don't carry firearms or practice martial arts. I taught that. And I made it convincing. I used the scripture. I said, this is what the Bible says. So, you know, people who carry guns and, you know, practice martial arts, they're putting their faith in themselves and not in the Lord. So Christians shouldn't carry guns. Christians shouldn't practice martial arts. That's what I essentially taught. But I said, if you have it already, if you already have a gun, and if you already know how to fight, you should use it to protect other people. And then I said, you need to put your faith in your ability to shoot in God, not yourself. So when you aim, you got to be thinking about the Lord helping you aim. And when you start to kick somebody's ass, you got to put your faith in his abilities through you somehow, some way to, you see the goofy shit that I'm all up wrapped up into? You know, it's absolutely ludicrous. This is foolishness. Another one here about trusting God rather than yourself, destroying your self-confidence here. Psalms 118 verses 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, which is yourself. Right? There ain't no God that's going to take care of you. He's not there. You just believe in something and hoping that it's going to work out. And if it does work out, you'll say, the Lord took care of me. That was just a happenstance. That just happened that way. What about the times when it all fucked up and burned down? Where was God then? Well, that was God's will for my house to burn down. It was God's will for me to get robbed at gunpoint and get my ass kicked. It was God's will for that. And so, but where, I thought he was going to protect you. I thought you put your faith in the Lord, didn't you? Yeah, I put my faith in the Lord. Then why didn't he protect you? Where is he? Where was God's will? It's always your fault or something, or his will. It ain't that God don't exist. You see, this Bible always covers God, but it's your fault. You don't have enough faith. If something didn't happen that you wanted to happen, or if something shitty happens to you, it's just the will of God for it to happen. He's putting you through a trial so that you can learn something. Get the fuck out of here. All right. Here's a few more scriptures and we're going to end this. Here's one that promotes impoverished mindsets. All right. So here's the first one. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Now, these are religious baits because you can clearly see the passage is not saying that money is the root of evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But religion will omit certain things when it teaches, you know, and cause people to think something negative about money and riches. Another passage is the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it yourself. But it essentially says that this man who was rich came to Jesus and said, how can I get into the kingdom, to heaven? And Jesus said, did you do this? Did you do that? He said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you sell all your stuff and give it to the poor and follow me? And he didn't do it. He said he went away sad because he had so many riches. Then he said, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. So a lot of people take that to mean that rich people or riches and pursuing riches are evil. And so you should kind of stay away from having so much money. Kind of like the link to the passage where I talked about pleasure and how God wanted you to be a lover of him rather than a lover of pleasure. It's this, don't have so much, don't have so much pleasure, don't have so much fun. And so what this does to people is it leads them to have a low, impoverished mindset. They're poor and they think that's noble living like that. And I remember seeing people in my third church that it was an evangelical church where there was a couple that was very active in the church, but they would get mad at people when they would buy new things for themselves. They would judge people and say, you know, you could have spent that on you know, food for the homeless or something. And they always felt like you should live below your, you know, just live low, like humbly. You know, don't get you a new car because you want one. Don't buy you a new outfit because you want one. This poor mindset, you know, give all your money to somewhere else so that, you know, you don't have all this access. Bullshit. If you got the money, spend it. If you got the money, if you want to look right, you want to buy a new outfit, you want to get you a new car, buy that shit. The fuck out of here with that. But people end up having this low impoverished mindset. And then, of course, they create a reality around that through their subconscious. And now money don't come to them. They struggling all the time. And it's because they don't love money. You got to love money to get a lot of money. Else you won't get it. So they say the love of money is the root of all evil. Not necessarily true. Yeah, a lot of stuff, if you look deep down, you'll find somebody who was trying to get this money. They did something foul to get it. But that's not always the case. Loving money leads you to get it so that you can live a comfortable life. You should want a comfortable life. But if you're a Christian, you'll think that comfortable living or really extravagant living is somehow wrong. It's not. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is if you did it through evil means. If you stepped on somebody, you tore somebody down to get it. But ain't nothing wrong with getting this money. So, but the Bible has these few passages here. There's another one that's been often misused to give everything. And if you, even if your rent wasn't paid, give it, you know. And, you know, this older woman gave all she had, and she gave more than those rich people who gave out of their surplus. And she's better and she's more faithful because she gave. And her old ass should have kept that money because she needed for to pay her bills. You know, come on, man. But they want you in this poor mindset, you know, so you ain't got no money. You got low confidence. You got low self-esteem. Your autonomy is being taken away from you. You're just a following drone sheep with low self-esteem. You don't think better of yourself. This is what the Bible is trying to turn you into. And it turned me into that. Okay. Here's a few more passages that we're going to end this. Actually, it's just one here. This is one that is designed to suppress your emotions, particularly anger, because you're going to get angry when you start to see how things are fucked up. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26, it says, be angry and sin not. That's clearly saying that anger is not a sin. But religion, you will hear them say that anger is a sin. If you're angry and you show that emotion, they say you're a sinner. You're a bad person. What are you doing? You need to calm down. And anger is a natural emotion that arises when there's a violation of something, when there's an offense of some kind, and when you need fuel to change something for the better. You get angry. That's a natural emotion. There's nothing sinful about emotion. There's nothing sinful about anger. And so it just says here in the passage, be angry, but don't sin. You can be angry, but don't sin. But here, even in religion, they'll read this passage and misinterpret it, you know, and say that anger is a sin. All right. So what this does is suppress your emotions, especially when you're angry with your pastor for his abuse. Or you're angry with what was being taught from out of scripture. You're angry with God in some cases. You're angry with other people in the church, family members, etc. Religion will tell you to suppress that. And that's not good. And so anger is necessary. It tells you what's going on and something needs to be addressed. But no, let's suppress that. That's all I got for you today. Thank you for listening to the end. Rate, subscribe, share this broadcast with people. Email me at neil@neilreal.com. And once again, there is nothing good in religion. Anything that's good in religion was borrowed from humanity. All right? Have a good day.